Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Burning low, lots of mistletoe, lots of snow and ice everywhere we go. Choir singing carols right outside my door. All these things and more, baby.
All these things and more now.
That's what Christmas means to me, my love.
That's what Christmas means to me, my love.
Seen before.
Even though I love you badly, it seems I love you more.
The little card you gave me touched my heart for sure.
All these things and more, darling. That's what Christmas means to me, my love.
That's what Christmas means to me, my love.
I feel like running wild.
Christmas, baby.
Wish you a Merry Christmas, baby.
It's such happiness in the coming year.
Welcome to Christmas at the Vineyard. You look good. You made it to your seats. And now we get to spend an hour together to focus on how amazing the incarnation is. That the eternal Son of God set out on the ultimate rescue mission by taking on human form. Now, before we continue, I have two notes for you and an invitation. First, we will not be receiving an offering during the service today. If you came prepared to give, there will be ushers stationed at the auditorium doors at the end of service. And as always, there are boxes at each info area in the building. Second note, many of you are already aware of this. We have three photo areas set up for you. Each of the three are located on the lower level of the building. And now an invitation. Every year around here, we launch the year with what we appropriately refer to as the New Year's series. The New Year's series this coming year is a four-week series starting on the weekend of January 2021. Now, this is four don't-miss weeks at church where we ramp up the fun and excitement, we kind of break free from the post-holiday funk, and we get ready for every good thing God has in store for us in 2018. There'll be special musical guests, fun surprises, And here's a sneak peek. This year, on two of the four weekends, we will be joined by animals from the Cincinnati Zoo. So we are looking forward to that. But now, I'd like you to direct your attention to the screens as we remind ourselves of why we've gathered here today.
Adventures often happen when you least expect them. And it was in the quiet town of Nazareth where a girl called Mary started her unexpected adventure. She was alone one day when suddenly she found herself face to face with an angel who had some interesting news. Mary was going to have a baby, and this is where it got real interesting, because the baby was to be God's son. Now Mary's fiancé, Joseph, he took some convincing that this was for real. But eventually, after meeting an angel himself, he realized this was an adventure for him too. Every good adventure needs a journey, right? Well, for Mary, this meant sitting on a donkey and traveling for days to a town called Bethlehem, the place God had chosen for his son to be born. I mean, you'd expect somewhere pretty glamorous for such an occasion, right? But Mary and Joseph found themselves cooped up in none other than a stable, surrounded by the mooing of cows, the bleating of sheep, and soon, the cries of a little baby boy. Elsewhere, there were some other folks being drawn into this adventure themselves. On a nearby hillside, some shepherds were having their own face-to-face with an angel. While in a far-off desert, some travellers had discovered an intriguing star in the sky. Both the angel and the star beckoned them to Bethlehem. Soon the stable was filled with these visitors who found themselves bowing down and worshipping the baby. They couldn't help it, for his name was Jesus, and he was to be God's own great adventure on earth. An unexpected adventure, of course, but one that would change the world forever.
Why don't you stand across this place? We're going to worship Jesus together. Come on, let's all stand.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is a night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining,
Come, let us adore him.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. Why don't you just turn to your right and your left and say Merry Christmas to a couple people around you, then be seated. God bless you.
Oh my gosh!
Merry Christmas, Zach!
Oh, Steve. It's just you, man. Where'd you come from?
Just waiting for you. How was it?
Oh, it was so good, man. That candle lighting put the icing on the service.
I thought we talked about the donut jokes. So what do you have here?
Oh, those are the donuts for the Vineyard Christmas Jesus Three Kings Manger something.
Vineyard's annual donut outreach.
Oh, the donut outreach. I guess I do not know what I'm supposed to do with them.
Oh, man. Well, the first rule of the donut outreach is that the donuts should be given to people who have to work during Christmas instead of being home with their family. No! You're not supposed to eat them!
Oh, right. Because who would want a half-eaten box of donuts, right?
So, who are you going to give them to?
Let's see. Hey, what about this guy in the parking lot over here?
Oh, Zach. The next rule is, don't give them away close to Vineyard. We want to make sure people feel God's love all over Cincinnati, not just in Vineyard's backyard.
Cool. Yeah. So what you're saying is, we need to sprinkle the love across the city. Yeah? Get it? Sprinkle?
Yeah, I got it. Just be sure to take your donuts someplace close to home. Try going to a restaurant, police station, fire station, hospital, convenience store, or any place where there are people working that could use a donut and a reminder that God loves them.
Oh, sounds pretty easy. I could totally do this.
I believe in you! And now you get this whole donut outreach thing. Get it? Hole?
What?
Donut?
I am not following.
Come on, man! You're a monster!
Hey. Children change everything. Children change everything. When you brought a child home, if you brought a child home that first time, everything was different. There were times where we would just stand and stare in the crib, amazed that they let us take this baby home with us. And the love that we felt went way up high. But the sleep that we had went way down low. And the relationships in the family changed. And our concentration went all to the child. And as husbands, we said, we're here too, right? It changed everything. A child really changes everything. This, if we strip away all of the tradition, if we strip away all of the ideas that we have about Christmas and bring it down to this simple truth, man, he's doing good. You're doing so good. I didn't think it would last this long. I'll be honest with you. Right on cue. Oh, this is going to happen every time now, for sure. If you strip away all of the stuff, what you're left with is a child sent by God that changed everything. Now, I need to return him to the nursery. Hang on. To his mom. Would you thank the renters for allowing me to steal their child? Christmas is really, if you strip it all down, if you get rid of all the tradition and all the hype and all the stuff that we do, and I love all the stuff that we do, but if you strip it down to the essence of what it's about, God sent a child put divinity in a baby body in order to rescue humanity. That's what, when it all comes down to it, it's about God saying, I'm gonna save the world with a child. A child would change everything. And the truth is, still today, a child can change your life. Now, I don't want to ruin Christmas for you, but I want to deconstruct the nativity for just a moment, and then I want to talk about the history of Christmas in our culture. So I don't want to depress you or ruin your nativity scene or anything, but a lot of times during this time of year, we share a lot of the story, and we talk about, and we have these nativity scenes, and a lot of the stuff that we talk about really isn't in the scripture. So I'm just going to, as a pastor, just kind of get this off my chest, if you'd be okay with it. It says that she rode on a donkey. Actually, not in scripture. Maybe she did. I don't know. 9 months pregnant, a 60-mile journey. I don't know. But it doesn't say anything about a donkey in the story. That's all I'm saying. When they get to Bethlehem, the story goes that they speak to the innkeeper, and he gruffly turns them away. This, too, not in scripture. As a matter of fact, there were no Holiday Inns in Bethlehem at this time. And when they went to Bethlehem, it was the city of David. And if you were from the city of David, you were proud of that heritage. And there were many people coming for the census, so the place was packed. And when they came to Bethlehem, to the city of David, they would have been warmly greeted, because in that region, in that time, hospitality was of foremost importance to families there. And so there was no way that they would have rejected this child, this woman, and this family. But no room in the inn simply means that there was no guest room available for them. So they would have made room in another room for them, or maybe they put them around back where the animals are. Also in the story, I know in the nativity, the first nativity scene was actually in 1223, St. Francis in Italy came up with all the pictures, and there's all the animals, and maybe... just not in scripture. In scripture, there's no mention of an animal. There might have been animals, but there definitely was not a manger that you see. It was probably more likely a cave. Are we okay still? Are we all right? I'm not saying Christmas doesn't exist. I'm just saying we get a lot of the details wrong, and the details don't really matter, because it's really about a child that God sends to save the world. And then we three kings. I love that song. There weren't three kings. There were three gifts. We don't know how many kings there were, and actually... they weren't kings. They were magi. They were, wise men that you would have seen as wise men, not really kings. Now, don't go home and take apart your nativity scene. You know, don't do that. Pastor Rob ruined Christmas this year. Thanks, Pastor. Don't do that. I'm just saying, all of the details that can make us feel warm or whatever, we just don't necessarily have all of them right. And the details don't really matter in that regard, and if you miss the main thing, which is that God loves us so much that he sent a baby to us to live among us. If you really think about that, that God would invade the world himself and come in the form of a child, that's miracle enough. Now let's talk for just a moment about the tradition of December 25th here in our culture. Some people will just lament the fact that it's all commercialized and it's all bad. No, I'm not one of those people. I love it. My kids love it. My family loves it. My 11-year-old son is driving me absolutely crazy for the last 2 months about what he's going to get and what he's trading in to get and all this stuff. And we're going to have a blast and we're going to love it. Going to eat way too much food and we're going to have fun, okay? So I'm not against the traditions, but December 25th, not actually the day, as you know, that Jesus was born. Most historians say probably around January 6th. But December 25th in the Roman Empire was actually a time where they celebrated pagan deities, and pagan revelry took place. So on December 25th in the Roman Empire, it was like Mardi Gras in the streets. Matter of fact, early Christians, they would have a hard time getting the early Christians to really celebrate the birth of Christ. We were focused on celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, but to celebrate the birth of Christ, it was really tough because Christmas was always pitted against this pagan revelry. Many Christians of the time would actually go and take part in Mardi Gras and then come back and ask for forgiveness later. It wasn't until Constantine, the first Roman emperor to give his life to Christ, actually made a decision in 325 to say, we're going to consolidate the dates so that we're all at least in agreement on when he was born and we can celebrate this together. And they really chose December 25th at that time. Fast forward to the 1600s. In Europe, Christmas was so bad. How bad was it? It was so bad that women and children would not go out on the streets during Christmas because of the debauchery, the revelry, and the drunkenness that's on the streets during Christmas. As a matter of fact, it was Oliver Cromwell who outlawed Christmas in Europe. If you were caught singing a Christmas song, they would arrest you. It got that bad. When the Puritans landed at Plymouth Rock, you didn't know you were going to get a Christmas history lesson, did you? When they landed at Plymouth Rock, they outlawed Christmas for the next 150 years. And even when George Washington became the first president, and you already know the date, 1789, because you're smarter than a fifth grader, that when he was elected, for the next 67 years, Congress would meet on Christmas, December 25th, and there was never a mention of the birth of Christ at that time. We have always, as a church, celebrated the resurrection, but Christmas has never been that important as it is today. So how did we even get to this place where it is important now, where we can come together and we worship together and we have warm feelings about children and charity and hope? It actually really started to happen in the middle of the 1800s, 1822. There was a teacher and a pastor who wrote a poem. We now know it as The Night Before Christmas, and introduced Saint Nick, and all the children said, amen. And then all of a sudden it was about charity, it was about hope, it was about family being together, and churches started actually opening up their doors and celebrating Christmas, to where now it's like, yeah, we celebrate Easter and Christmas, but it wasn't always that way. Then in 1843, Charles Dickens writes A Christmas Carol. Not a Christmas story. A Christmas story is the one where the kid's going to get a BB gun and shoot his eye out, and the kid licks the pole and gets it stuck, and it's awesome. So that comes later. A Christmas Carol, where Ebenezer Scrooge, you watch this whole show and it's scary when you watch it as a child. The Ghost of Christmas Past and the Ghost of Christmas Present, and it's a freaky show. Until the ghost of Christmas Future shows him what his life is gonna be, and all of a sudden he wakes up and he's alive and there's no more chains and there's no more ghosts, and he wakes up and you remember he's in this long robe and his hair is sticking straight out, and this old man is like he's born again. And he runs around like a crazy man, throwing money. And man, he's just blessing everybody. And then he's buying all the stuff, and he's blessing Bob Cratchit. And you're like, oh, I love this part of the movie. And then Tiny Tim says, God bless us, everyone. And you're like, oh, yeah, I love it. It's awesome. Actually, the ironic twist to our traditions is that we may very well have Santa Claus and Scrooge to thank for the fact that we now celebrate Christmas the way we do. So before we get too crazy about all of the commercialization, the fact is, the way it is today has evolved over time. It wasn't like this the year after Jesus was raised from the dead and all of a sudden there was Christmas celebrations. But I come back to this point. You strip all of that away, whether you celebrate this way or that way or the other, it comes down to the fact that a child changed the world. Matthew 1:21 says this, she'll give birth to a son. An angel is speaking to Joseph. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. My question is, what did this kid do after he was a baby? Now, we know the rest of the story. We know how he lived. He lived in obscurity for about 30 years. Not much is written about Jesus when he was a little boy. There was one time in Scripture where it does say that his parents lost him for a few days. How would you feel if you lost the Son of God? They did find him. They found him. Don't worry. And really, the next recorded event is where he's led into the wilderness and he gets baptized and he starts his ministry. He's around 30 years old. He starts his ministry. And his ministry for 3 years is a man who is dedicated to going to a cross in Rome to die for us. But along the way, it's almost like God couldn't help himself. He would have compassion on people. There were healings and miracles where he would raise the dead, if you can believe this sort of thing. That his life really substantiated this, what was promised when he was just a baby. That his life backed it up and his ministry backed it up. There were times where he raised the dead and healed the sick and walked on water. There was one particular day I'd draw your attention to, and can you imagine walking around with Jesus for 3 years in ministry and what would have happened and what you would have seen day to day? One particular day, there's a multitude of people, and they've been following him for days. It's recorded two different times where he does this, at least twice. It's recorded at least. Where they're all hungry. And he's moved with compassion and he takes a few fish and a few loaves. You've heard the story. And he lifts the bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks. And if you can believe this sort of thing, God multiplies all that. And all of the people there eat until they're completely satisfied. And then they take up fragments of leftovers from all these thousands of people. This miracle meal. Now, as soon as that happens, Jesus, as he often did, he retreated. He's going to go pray. He sends his disciples, if you can believe this, on the water. And he said, you know, go to the other side. And they get midway out there and a storm hits and they're scared to death. And then Jesus, it says, goes and walks out on the water. Now his disciples in the middle of the night, and here's a drenched, soaking Jesus walking on the water towards them. They're freaked out. They don't know what's going on. They spend most of their time with him kind of freaked out. And he spends a lot of time saying this, fear not, fear not, fear not. So he walks out on the water in the dark, in the storm, and he says to them, fear not. And the scripture says they feared even more. He gets in the boat, and they arrive at the other side. When they arrive, this is all in like one day. They arrive at the other side, and all of the multitude had heard that Jesus was there. Now listen, if a guy is providing food for you and miracles for you and healing you and raising the dead, and you know that he's over there, they all made their way over there. Jesus said, I know why they're all here. He's talking to his disciples. They just had a miracle meal. Now they see me here. It's almost breakfast. They're ready for more miracles. They actually had a question for Jesus, and the question was one that's legitimate for us too right here. We could say, well, Christmas is fine and traditions are fine, but can this child actually make a difference? They were asking him, how do we get in on this? We like what you're doing. We see that you're from God, but how do we do the works of God? How do we get in on this? And Jesus gives them an answer that I don't know if, it seems like it would fall flat. John chapter 6, 29, Jesus answered and said, the work of God is this. Here's your job. To believe in the one he has sent. That's it. Then they started reasoning. And they said, well, okay, but you know, when Moses was leading the people of Israel, now this is ironic when we know it is because we know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God standing there with him, but now they're going to start talking about Moses. When Moses was leading the people, he did all kind of miracles. When Moses led the people, he gave them bread from heaven. They're talking to Jesus right now. The miracle meal has not yet digested in their own body. And they're talking about Moses. When Moses did this and Moses did that, and when Moses led the people, man, he did some miracles. Basically, they were saying to Jesus, we will believe it when we see it. Show us some more miracles. Do some more stuff. Moses had bread come down from heaven, manna from heaven every day, and the people of God ate it. Do something like that. And I love the response that Jesus gives. In John 6:35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What a saying. What a savior. This is the only man in history who, when they said, we don't know the way, he didn't say, well, here's the way. There's five steps and go around the corner and turn left at Walmart and that's the way. No, he said, I'm the way. Don't talk to me about Moses. Don't talk to me about miracle bread that came down from heaven. I am the miracle bread that came down from heaven. This is his bold claim that he would be the Son of God. He said, I am the door.
I am the way. I am the bread. And if I am the drink, come to me if you're thirsty and you'll never thirst again. Bold claims that pointed directly back to him and no one else. A child changes the world if that child is actually the Savior of the world. And the question is, can you really believe it? This is the work that we have to do. Christmas, and the greatest question of Christmas is, can you believe that? That God actually did that for us. I'm going to ask the band to come back out as they get ready for a final song before we light the candles. I know the kids are excited because this is the only service where fire is actually allowed. And it's coming. It's so close. It's so close. But I'm going to read John chapter 3, verse 16, a familiar passage for many of you, but I really appreciate this from the Message. Listen carefully to this. This is how much God loved the world. This is how much. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. But anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Well, here's why. Because of that person's failure to simply believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. You know, it's not just that a child was born 2,000 years ago. What difference would that make to us if he can't change our life even right now today? I could tell you with great humility that a child has changed my life. Jesus, when believed upon, trusted upon, actually changes the human heart. And we all have that promise. And the question for me is, can I believe it? The news is so good. The news that a child changes everything. My question to you is, can you believe it? Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Good when you can praise God with a disco ball. Before we get into the candle lighting, there's hundreds of volunteers that make this weekend happen. And I especially want to thank all of our volunteers and then all of our volunteers who've just faithfully, for six services, done such a fantastic job. We really appreciate you all. Really appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Would you stand with me? And if you have your candle there, we're going to worship together. We're going to light your candle, and if you would be so kind to carefully light the candle of the person next to you and maybe behind you, we'll sing together.
Silent night, holy night, holy star, round yon virgin mother.
It's one of our favorite moments of the year when we remember Christ and his birth and just the fact that we're family here together, from our family to yours. We love you. We're praying for you. Would you lift your candle? I just want to speak a blessing over you for this season and for the coming year. Our prayer is that the light of Jesus would shine brightly in your lives and in your homes, that you would feel his warmth and his love, his peace, and his joy would be with you. We love you. Merry Christmas. Now it's time to go bless somebody with some donuts. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.